In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Usually, when we explain to those who are not Orthodox Christians why we have icons, we focus on doctrine and teaching and justifying the veneration of icons. Because there is so little understanding. Usually, we point to the fact that if someone were to say, this image of Christ ought not to exist, because according to the Old Covenant, there is nothing in heaven or on earth that can be taken as a likeness of God. If we apply that to Christ and his likeness, then we are denying the reality of the incarnation of the Son of God and saying that Jesus Christ is not God. No matter how great a mystery it is, the fact is that given the incarnation of the Son of God, if we are going to affirm the reality of the incarnation of the Son of God, there is no other way to do that better than to have an icon of Christ. This affirms the reality of the incarnation. And the icons of the saints, they affirm the reality of something that is a little more difficult to understand. But we can at least point out that they, each one of them in their lives, were living icons of Christ. And that's understandable. But in the 14th century, when St. Gregory Palamas spoke on this day, on Orthodoxy Sunday, he wasn't defending the veneration of icons before those outside who did not understand why they were important. In his sermon, he emphasized the fact that Orthodox doctrine, the fullness of the teaching of the Christian faith, is only a place to begin. That if we have good doctrine, we are in harmony with the God-bearing fathers, and we have truth. But he says, if we have this harmony of truth in doctrine with the God-bearing fathers, our faith and our truth is the same as theirs, then we have a place to begin. It is not the final outcome for us to have the true faith. It is only by way of the true faith that we can begin. And that is the significance, the whole significance of having the true faith. If we did not have the true faith, then we would go off in the wrong direction. And so it is important for us not to forget who Christ is, what it means that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for a particular purpose, for a reason, not just to be right, but to have a place to begin. We begin by acting. That's where salvation begins. Icons proclaim that we can actively participate in the outcome of the incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Icons proclaim that we can actively participate in our own salvation. They affirm the oneness of the physical and the spiritual. They affirm the oneness of the body and the spirit. They assure us that it is possible for us to act as the descendants of Christ. We act in order to enter into the kingdom of God. That's why we act. That's why we practice virtue. That's why we teach ourselves to go more and more deeply into virtue. Virtues are not an end in themselves, they are a means to the end. That we might be able to see God because we have purified ourselves to the point that our eyes are clear enough to be able to see. Truth in doctrine is one thing, but the ultimate truth is Christ. And even He, coming into the world, is means to the end that we might ascend to the kingdom of God. We act together in the divine liturgy. It is an activity that we do together. If we absent ourselves from this common action, then it means that we have no faith in the fact that we can act together and ascend into the kingdom of God. There are different degrees of this activity. We know, of course, of the witnesses living a virtuously holy life. The monastics, the nuns, and the monks, they spend their entire lives practicing virtue, not for its own sake, but in order to ascend into the kingdom of God. They're the exception, but they're a living witness, living icons of the fact that this is possible. But we also are living icons of the fact that this is possible. Our faith is such that we come together and act together in the divine liturgy, the divine liturgia, the divine public work, the work that we can do along with God. We come here in order to do that work together. We learn during our lives how to participate more and more fully in the divine liturgy. We don't just come and stand for an hour and a half, receive communion if we've been to confession lately and don't if we haven't, and then go home back to live a life where our faith is in the world. Sharon and I have 5 children. Most of the time, most of them don't, quote, go to church, unquote. I hate that expression, go to church. It is so non-orthodox, as though by, quote, going to church, unquote, we have done something just by going and not doing anything there. Orthodox come here to the Divine Liturgy in order to do something along with God, to participate in a public work along with God. It doesn't happen unless we come and do it. It doesn't happen unless when we come, we do it after we have come. We're not just observers, we're participants. But if we don't believe that it is possible for us to participate actually, physically, and spiritually at the same time as the icon's witness is possible, if we don't believe that, then why should we come? It is no great thing to come and not participate or to disbelieve in the fact that we come to participate in Christ's own divine life. Some of us come and our main participation during the course of our lives is coming to the divine liturgy and faithfully participating in the divine liturgy in faith that by coming and leaving the world, we are ascending from this world into the kingdom of God, and we hear the words of truth from the gospel. And our hearts grow warm because we are hearing the truth and we are in the presence of God. And it may be that when we go home, we don't live lives of constant pursuit of virtue. And it may be that we only seldom come to the sacrament of confession and repudiate the things that we have done where we have missed the mark of not being like Christ. As the icons witness to the fact that it is possible for us to do this and that it has been given to us to do it. We are already witnesses of it by coming and participating actively in the divine liturgy. We are doing it. It's not the same as actively participating in the life of Christ in the world by learning the virtues, by repudiating, doing the things that separate us from God and others, by maintaining watchfulness and rejecting that loss of Christ each time we are tempted to do something or say something that is not Christ-like. We can do that in the world that is most active Or we could do it after the fact when we come to communion and we repudiate those things. And that is active. But it's active too, just coming to the divine liturgy and participating in what is going on and not just being someone who happened to be there on that day. That participation, the reality of participation in being in the presence of God together during the divine liturgy, that too, that reality is witnessed by the icon. It claims that the physical and the spiritual are made one by God. God came into the world in order to take his world that he had created back to himself, to unite it to himself again. God came to unite the world to himself, and he did that. He came in our humanity in order to do it because it was and is our calling as human beings to unite all things to God through ourselves, through our humanity, and now we can do that through his humanity. We have a perfect humanity that we can share in and participate in. Icons witness to that fact. The Divine Liturgy is the reality of that occurring if we are participants in the Divine Liturgy and not just people who attend it. And our active lives in the world, if we actively pursue a spiritual life, they become witnesses of that fact. And those we see who are saints, they are living witnesses of that fact. The reality of the Orthodox Christian faith is witnessed by the bringing of the icons back into the churches. The year 843, the icons were returned to the churches after over 100 years, 112 or 13 years, I believe. They had been taken out of the church by Leo III, Leo the Assyrian. It means Leo the Syrian. Leo grew up in northern Syria. Islam had already taken Syria, and he was influenced by the teaching of the Muslims that there cannot be an image and likeness of God, that we cannot be like God. We cannot participate in God's divinity. Even Christ himself was not the Son of God. And so images were forbidden to Islam. And Leo was influenced by that. The military success of the Muslims convinced him that the icons should go. And so when he became emperor, they went. If you go to Constantinople, to Istanbul today, the church next to the Hagia Sophia, the church of St. Irenae, the Holy Peace. You look up in the apse, that's the part of the church behind the altar. You look up and there is a cross. Because in Leo's time, the icon of the Theotokos and Christ was removed. The hope of salvation in Christ was removed. Because when we mention the Theotokos, we are thinking about the fact that she is one of us. She is the human being who brought God incarnate into the world so that we could participate in his divinity. She is the witness of the fact that it is possible to participate in God's divinity by having God the Son inside of herself and bringing him forth into the world so that we could participate in his divinity. All of that was wiped out, and instead there was replaced by a simple cross. You can see that cross there today. And so it's a reminder of the time of the icons when participation actively in our own salvation was forbidden for a century, even in the Orthodox East. And today, participation actively in our own salvation, not many have hope in it. Even those of us who become Orthodox. Though we have the fullness of truth and faith and doctrine and are mentally at one with the God-bearing fathers, we are not God-bearers. In the West, the accent became on understanding doctrine, understanding teaching, having the truth. Blessed Augustine said, "I believe, and therefore I understand." The accent is mental, not active. I believe, therefore I understand. I understand that is the ultimate, that is the end. I am a Christian, I have the true belief. And the result was in the West, for the next 1500 years, Christianity was about having a certain set of doctrine, a certain set of beliefs, a certain conviction of the mind. And one after one, churches split from one another on the basis of a disagreement as to what we ought to think about Christianity, not about what we ought to do. What we ought to do has always been obvious and difficult. And a path around that was found. Let's argue about what we believe, because after all, if we believe rightly, and we say that we are sinners and there's nothing we can do, then we will be saved. End of issue. No necessity to actively participate in the life of Christ, God incarnate. No necessity for repentance as a means to that end, changing. All of that disappeared with the loss of the icons. Of course, they were kept in monasteries. Even if they had never been returned, the Orthodox faith would have survived at least in the monasteries. Mount Athos already existed in the 9th century. Those icons could not have been taken. The state, the kingdom of this world, tried to destroy the Orthodox faith because of its faith in power and because of its fear. That's what Leo the Osirian was all about. But the Orthodox stood together against the faith of the state in this world and the faith of people in this world who would elevate the values of this world above everything else and divide us from God again. Separate the holy from the everyday. That's all profane means, you know. Profane means everyday. Those who separate the sacred and the profane, they're the ones who talk about going to church. I live in the world. I'd live my life, but I go to church each Sunday. I go and I acknowledge the existence of the sacred, and then I go back and I live my daily life, my profane life. This is the opposite of the Orthodox Christian faith. Our understanding is that we enter into the presence of God in order to receive his body and blood and go out into the world to live actively that life that we have been given to live. There is no more separation of the sacred and the profane. There is no more separation of my life in the world as opposed to the church that I go to in order to praise God only on Sunday. That is a nice satisfaction of the fact that we prefer the world to God. But we don't have that comfort as Orthodox Christians. We have the comfort of the fact that everything that we do during the course of our lives has the meaning of being part of our active ascension toward the kingdom of God. Everything in our life is infused with meaning because of the oneness of the physical and the spiritual. And we may betray it most of the time, but at least we can come and participate in it liturgically at the Divine Liturgy in all of its fullness, along with all the saints. We always have that. And all of that was protected and defended by the return of the icons to the churches. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.